Welcome to the Central Seminary Podcast. We're delighted to have you with us today as we discuss biblical and theological issues relating to life and ministry. This podcast is a ministry of Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. To learn more about Central Seminary, visit our website at www.centralseminary.edu. My name is Micah, and I'll be your host. Welcome to the Central Seminary Podcast today. We are glad you have joined us. Today we're joined by one of the pastors here at Fourth Baptist Church, Pastor Jared Page. Jared is an MDiv graduate here at Central and is the pastor of students and seniors here at Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth. And so thank you for joining us here today, Jared.
Micah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I've been enjoying listening to the podcast and appreciate the work you're doing here.
Excellent. One of the questions that we love to ask our guests on the podcast is a book that you're reading, just so you'd like to share with our listeners. What's something that you're reading that you've been finding encouraging?
Sure. I'm working through a couple things right now. One of them is encouraging. One of them's maybe not as encouraging, but I'm trying to work my way through it and understand it. I'm rereading right now Age of Opportunity by Paul Tripp. And I'm actually teaching a class here coming up before too long on parenting teenagers. And so I'm rereading Age of Opportunity in preparation for that, kind of thinking of using it as the backbone of my class. And so I'm encouraged by that. My kids are teenagers and actually growing out of their teenage years now, but it was a good refresher for me and a lot of practical wisdom in that. The other book I'm reading right now is The Case for Christian Nationalism by Stephen Wolfe. And he's kind of written here, I think, one of the early lengthy treatises on the idea of Christian nationalism. And it's kind of a political theory book, maybe more than a theological book, although it's certainly intertwined. And I'm not landing at his position. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I am sure. But it's been an interesting read, you know, as kind of this movement to maybe reclaim a Reformation view of church and state.
Yeah.
So working my way through that, hope to maybe do some teaching on that topic here in the next year or so. But
yeah, certainly a year to do something
like
that.
Yeah, I need to do a lot more digesting of a lot of stuff before I try and teach it. But so that's the other book I'm working through right now.
Excellent. Our topic today that we're going to address is seniors ministry in the local church. Two books that I've read on that have been incredible encouragement that I just wanted to put before you is by Brian Croft, Caring for Widows by Brian Croft and Austin Walker. And then Brian Croft, Visit the Sick, Ministering God's Grace in Times of Illness. Two other books just to put on your reading list as you're listening to our podcast today that help us think about maybe some of those people in the church that might not grasp for our attention, but are so essential as part of the body. And as we're thinking through the purpose of this podcast and how we can grab some theological topics, but also then some practical and pastoral topics, this one has really come to the forefront in asking and thinking about pastoral care for seniors. So Jared, your title is Pastor for Students and Seniors. How did you arrive at that position of Pastor of Student and Seniors?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. I might be the only guy out there with that particular title. And it's kind of an odd combination of hats to wear.
It's a neat one, yeah.
My background is youth ministry. I was a youth pastor for 8 years right out of, I did an MA and then after undergrad, and I was a youth pastor for 8 years at a church in Florida. Moved up here actually to continue my education at Central. Sort of got diverted back into youth ministry. I was a taught here at Fourth Baptist Christian School for 7 years. And then in 2016, moved over to the church side at Fourth Baptist and became the student ministries pastor. So I was the better part of 20 years in youth ministry. That's really the core of what I did for a good chunk of my ministry. So a few years ago, Jim McLeish, who was our seniors pastor here, ran our Golden Agers ministry. He was retiring. And so we were kind of thinking about, what should we do with our staff? Should we hire another seniors pastor or whatever? And, you know, at the same time, I was getting old in youth pastor years. And I you know, we started talking about the idea maybe of, instead of hiring a seniors pastor, hiring a youth pastor, that could kind of work under me. And then I would take over the Golden Agers senior ministry. And so that's what we ended up doing. So I still broadly oversee all the student ministries and Sunday school in Awana and have oversight over the youth group. But we hired a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Works with the
I got to ask you though, how are they similar, those two categories? Being a youth pastor, now stepping into a seniors pastor, how are they similar?
Well, you know, I like to say our Golden Agers are kind of like junior hires, but with money. Yes. They appreciate that. They're okay with me saying that. But, you know, they're on a fun level. They're both fun groups to do stuff with. You know, so I have found that I enjoy being with our seniors. You know, they are a fun group to be with, in the same way that the youth group is. But, you know, we actually, strangely enough, feel like I end up having a lot of the same conversations at times with our seniors that I at times had with youth group members. You know, I more than one occasion have said, well, you know, in talking to a senior, well, here's what I tell our teenagers in that situation, you know, and, you know, of course there are plenty of things that are common to man, no matter your age. But, you know, at times some of our seniors, you know, for instance, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit later, but, some of our seniors who were widowed they're dating again, you know, for the first time in 40 or 50 years. And so that's an interesting dynamic of life, you know. And so I've had some conversations in that context with some of our seniors, which I'm like, well, here's what I tell the teens here. And I think this is applicable to you too. So there, you know, there are some interesting parallels at times, but, you know, both groups are a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah.
You know, there's a joy in it. Oftentimes some similar conversations too.
That's really neat. You spoke in a chapel last semester to our students, to the faculty, and it was an incredibly encouraging discussion on how Scripture instructs us both for the care and the need of that care in Scripture. And you said a quote there that has been ringing in my mind, that the church needs seniors and seniors need shepherds. And that really has made me think a lot, and really some of the reason why I was thinking about bringing this into our listeners, of how the church needs seniors and seniors need shepherds. How have you come to think through the necessity of that shepherding role that you now fill?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, first of all, our seniors bring a lot of value to our ministry, right? The church is meant to be intergenerational, multi-generational, the generations working together for the work of the church and helping and discipling one another. And, you know, I think the Scripture does exhort us to value our senior our senior members, that they are to be valued within the church, because they have really important, you know, ideas to communicate to the church overall. I can think of several Old Testament passages where we get into the idea of the gray head, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of metaphor for the older person and what they bring to the table for our assemblies. And so, you know, there's several Old Testament passages that point to that. First of all, that seniors, they can testify of God's faithfulness. Amen. Right? And that's a really important truth for our younger people to hear, right? Maybe they're more starting out in life, but you know, are wondering, can I trust God through the path of life? And Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. And I understand that's in the context of Israel there, but I think there's still that principle of God's faithfulness over a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and so our seniors can really testify to our congregations, to every age group of our congregations, of God's faithfulness. I think they can also testify to the glory of a righteous life, to the benefit of living a righteous life. Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Mm-hmm. And the context there in Proverbs really seems to do with making a contrast there with those who would rush to evil and and pay the consequences of that, maybe even death.
Yeah.
Right. But whereas somebody who's got that gray hair, there's a testimony there that they have been able to make it through life. The implication being that they've lived that righteous life that's kept them out of some of that trouble.
Yeah.
And then they can, you know, they can wear that as a crown of glory that they have lived that righteous life. And so, you know, they can testify that it's good to walk with God.
Yeah.
That has blessed their life.
I'm thinking of that, the Psalm 145 passage of one generation shall commend your works mm-hmm. to another. And also that necessity of the passage you just shared, that it is gained in a righteous life, that mm-hmm. it's not just also the works of God, but in the righteous life, being able to identify those things and say, yeah, this is how God worked in that. That's a neat passage. I like that Proverbs 1 within the context of this conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And no matter what age you are, that's a great message to hear, you know, from somebody who's walked the path of life and seen the blessings of that. And then there's just that idea of wisdom, you know, that general idea of wisdom. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly our seniors would testify that they might not have the physical strength.
Yeah.
That may not be what they're bringing to the table at that point in their life, is they're not bringing that vigor of physical strength, but they can bring that wisdom, right?
Yeah.
That's the splendor that they are able to bring. And, you know, just that wisdom that comes from hopefully a life lived with walking with the Lord sometimes, and they can testify they've gained wisdom out of their mistakes and sins
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
But certainly a lot of wisdom there to offer our younger generations.
Yeah. How can the church grow in this? So we see the value of the care for seniors within the church. How can we grow? Maybe even some practical ways, or ways that we can see some of those unique challenges to this group within the body. How can a church grow?
Yeah, I think there's some practical things that can be done. You know, our church is a little unique. You know, we've had a large weekly seniors ministry since the 80s. There was a man who pioneered that here at Fourth Baptist. And so I recognize many churches are not going to be able to run a weekly dedicated seniors event. We're pretty unique in that. However, I certainly would encourage pastors and churches to think about, you know, having some dedicated senior ministry. Maybe it's a monthly or a quarterly luncheon where you have a speaker in. You know, just it provides that connection point for our seniors. You know, like I said, we were able to do this weekly, you know, but even monthly or quarterly, having that connection point where people are able to gather together. You know, obviously some of our seniors are battling loneliness and isolation, and just some of that practical of providing some connection points for them to gather with other believers and be encouraged, I think is a really good idea. So even if it's a few times a year, a quarterly or something, I think that's worth thinking about. How can we really maybe minister them in a direct and unique way or something like that? You know, I think also, you know, just facilitating that intergenerational nature of the church, right? And seeking to find ways to integrate the age groups in really intentional ways. You know, I just actually this past week had a conversation with a couple of our senior saints about teaching second grade Sunday school. And they've had a life of ministry and are stepping back from some other things, but maybe would be interested in that. And so, you know, trying to find ways to connect the generations within the church, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
You know, developing that, you know, intergenerational connection, I think.
That was something that my kids absolutely loved in my time as pastor in Western Minnesota. Some of the spiritual grandparents that my kids got to have. We had Grandma Marge, who had been in the church for 50 some years, and she got to hold each of my kids in church during Sunday school, just there. It just some of the sweetest things for us, even just as a pastor family, to have some adopted family in that way. Some adopted grandparents is a, yeah. is a sweet privilege of the body of Christ, how God gives us those relationships. Yeah. It's so sweet.
And just in being the body, a lot of that's going to happen organically.
Yeah.
But there are ways also to, you know, sometimes intentionally facilitate that. We've done things where with our senior ministry, we'll take all the names of our youth group,
yeah, right?
and have them draw a name and pray for them for 3 months, you know, yeah, that they specifically pray for that youth group member for 3 months. And, you know, sometimes that maybe can go too far. And if they're, you know, I'm trying to not make it like you're buying them presents, and I don't want any kind of pressure like that. Yeah. This is literally just pray for this younger person in the church, you know, pray for them in this way. As we talk through, how can we pray for them? What are some of the things they might be facing? And then maybe, tell them, hey, just want you to know, try to connect with them once, and just doesn't have to be, you know, a long conversation even, but just, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying for you.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. You know, I think there are some intentional things that can be done to connect the generations.
Yeah. That's looking from the seniors into the church, which I love. I love that perspective. Mm-hmm. How does the church reach into seniors? What are some of those markers maybe that we don't recall or maybe think about that are good for us to remember in seniors care?
Yeah. So, I mean, seniors are definitely going to be facing some unique challenges in life, right? And certainly, you know, there are a lot of things that they're going to be working through. And I think it, you know, certainly starts with pastors of having that burden to shepherd the seniors and think about, you know, when I spoke in Central Chapel the other day, one of the things I was trying to help guys think through was, you know, when you're preaching, you know, application can be hard, you know, like I enjoy chasing the details of the text and whatever, but then it can be hard to make application. And one of the things I encourage the guys toward was, you know, part of your rubric or grid of how you apply, have a category for seniors, right? Yeah. How does this passage specifically relate to seniors? And then also, you know, as they, it just in the personal ministry of shepherding. So I think it starts with pastors and having that view of shepherding. Certainly we see in the scriptures that the role of the deacon in reaching into people's life, you know, even those first deacons or proto-deacons in Acts 6 there, how did that all start? Well, it started by caring for the widows.
Care. Yeah.
You know, and so certainly that's a big part of it. We, again, this is maybe a little unique. We have deaconesses in our church, and we don't view those offices as the same as deacon, but just a ministry group, you know, some kind of ministry group of ladies who, one of the things they really do well is stay connected to our shut-ins and our widows and some of the older people. But then I think just the church having that sensibility, you know, of member care for the one anothering aspect, you know, of really thinking through some of the unique things that are happening in seniors' lives.
Yeah, this quote from Brian Croft in his book, Visit the Sick, I think puts it in a neat way of us thinking through stepping into senior care. He says this, that's what care for the sick ultimately reveals, that our deep love for souls, specifically the souls of those with whom we have made a covenant in our local church. That's what you just mentioned, that body together working with those people we've covenanted.
Right.
Brian goes on to say, as we fellowship, love, care, and encourage one another, let us not lose sight of those who can all too easily be forgotten. Those who are sick don't have the energy or the ability to fight for our attention like so many other things in our lives do. Instead, we must take the initiative. Visiting the sick will not slide easily into our schedules. It will interrupt our plans, but we must not grow discouraged or frustrated. We must take heart. As we are intentional in our calling to visit the sick, we can trust that we are engaged in a divine task. Souls are being loved and nurtured. We ourselves are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. The gospel is being revealed through this ministry, and God is being glorified. That's in Visit the Sick, ministering God's grace in time of illness. So what does that look like for a church to be intentional in that time of sickness, or even time where maybe a senior isn't fighting for attention, that they can fall through the cracks. Right. How can we be mindful? And what are even dates and times that we can be mindful of in senior care?
Yeah, I think, you know, there it is easy, and I appreciate that quote. It's easy, you know. Some of our seniors are a group that can be a little bit out of sight, out of mind, right? Yeah. Maybe they're not getting out a lot, a little bit shut in, you know, or maybe just Sunday morning or whatever. And so I think there's just that has to be that intentionality of, you know, as was in that quote of you know, remembering who these people are. Yeah. Some of the ones maybe we're not seeing as much, but they're still part of our body. You know, we try to, in our Golden Agers ministry, especially, and I think sometimes in our Wednesday prayer bulletin, we try to publish maybe like a shut-in of the week, yeah. you know, or just kind of keep some of those names before the people, you know, to make sure that these are people who are being remembered,
yes,
you know, within the body. But so I think that's part of it, you know, deacon care groups, that kind of thing is really helpful. You know, our deacons are tasked with, you know, really making sure that they're making some contact with yeah. some of those people. So, you know, I think some of that just intentionality to make sure that we're not forgetting, you know, maybe those who are a little bit sometimes out of our sight.
Yeah. One of those passages from all of Scripture, and I know you shared several of those in the chapel message, but thinking of like a James 1:27. Religion that is mm-hmm. pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That was a significant passage for me in my pastoral ministry, thinking through and even the ministry that God gave us to visit the widows. And that word visit has a doctoral connection there of visiting the sick patients and supplying needs that gives to the church of saying visiting that impact. And as we think through that ministry of, and I want to particularly think through a widow, what are some of the immediate challenges that a widow is going to have that the church can do some of that? I'm thinking even of the First Timothy passages, how the church comes around. It does speak to some of the family, but then also it motivates the church to step into those widow situation. So what's a widow going to need and that we can be mindful of?
Yeah, there, you know, when we think about some of the unique challenges that our seniors face, right, death of a spouse is going to be mm-hmm. right at the top of that list. And obviously that's just a difficult time in a person's life. And that can happen, of course, at any point in life, but certainly our seniors are dealing with that in a more unique way. And, you know, I think of our group that meets, you know, regularly here, and probably at least a third, if not more, are widows or widowers. And so, you know, that's definitely an area of need and concern. And just, you know, it starts with a pastor walking with that person just through that process, right? Yeah. Sometimes it starts with a long protracted illness where they're caring for a spouse, right? And just walking alongside them through that and giving them comfort and hope and encouragement through those things, through a funeral process. And, you know, obviously those are times that, you know, pastors really have to show up and be a part of that process. And that next phase of life, can, you know, we think about getting through the funeral, but that next phase of life is really hard, yeah. you know, just the changes, you know, especially I think of maybe a woman and whose husband has died, and maybe he, you know, took care of all the money and sure. all the house repairs and all of these kinds of things. And now those burdens are just, you know, on her.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously the spiritual care aspect, you know, through that process, but there's just a lot of practical too of, you know, the church coming alongside and helping with some of those practical things. And often family can pick some of those things up, mm-hmm. but that's not always in place either. And yeah. so, you know, so I think certainly our deacons and other church members, do a good job of coming alongside some of those situations and providing some of that practical help. And then, but that's a long-term proposition too, of just, just keeping up with them and making sure that, you know, their needs are met and that kind of thing. And so, you know, that the death and funeral process is obviously a big part of the pastor's ministry there, but it's really also a beginning of a new process. And, you know, so I think it is a whole church proposition, starts with the pastor and deacons, but it's a whole church proposition. One of the cool things I think that we've seen to kind of start happen around here over the past few years is also widows ministering to other widows. And we've had a widows group that kind of organically started meeting. And there are certainly, and then there have been some of them, some of those widows who have really made other widows their ministry as well. And that's really been cool to see how they, you know, as perhaps another woman becomes a widow, they come alongside them and the grace that God has ministered to them. Now they're ministering to this new widow. And so, you know, it's really that whole church proposition. It certainly starts with the pastors and identifying the widows and the unique challenges that they have, but then, you know, the church picking that up as well.
Yeah. The church needs seniors and seniors need shepherds.
Right.
I love that. How it comes out. Thinking through other of those challenges, just some of the physical pain, the disease, those issues that are prevalent in there. What are some even just practical ways that the church can step into that, meet there? Maybe it's delivering meals, something like that. What's just some practical touches that the church could do?
Yeah, there's you know, obviously another one of the challenges of senior life is just, you know, the wearing down of the body and some of these other things. And you know, so the church, I think, you know, it starts with that visiting and helping idea, right? And it starts with that meeting those relational needs and that spiritual encouragement, you know, but certainly coming alongside with things like meals. You know, do you have house repairs that need done? Do you, you know, what are some other things that you need? Those kind of practical things that the church can really come alongside and pick up some of the slack on those things.
Yeah. So thinking through even just some encouragement for a small church out there, you've mentioned some of the neat opportunities you have here in a larger ministry, have a weekly one, but what could that look like for a rural church? What could some ministry opportunities that a pastor could encourage the deacons or the body to say, hey, this is how we could as a body create a gathering? What kind of gatherings would you encourage?
Well, I'm a Baptist, so it starts with food, right? But I actually think that's a great way. That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not sure what else to do, you know, pick a day of the month and, you know, almost certainly you have somebody in your church who's, you know, gifted in hospitality and food. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just, you know, maybe see if would they prepare a lunch, you know, once a month or a group of people who would maybe take that as a ministry and prepare a lunch, for the seniors, you know, once a month or once a quarter, you know, just, you know, if nothing else, just create that contact point. You know, obviously the weekly services of the church are primary there, but that extra contact point, just providing that time of fellowship. And that's a great way then to draw your church into ministry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the church members into that ministry and then hopefully you're also creating some intergenerational connections out of that. So I think, you know, it can just take a simple thing like a meal, you know, and turn that into that connection point. You know, there are other, you know, obviously getting together for spiritual encouragement is great. There are at times other speakers and stuff you can have in. You know, a lot of cities will have their police department will have a community resource officer.
Yeah.
You know, those officers love to come in and talk to senior groups.
Yeah.
That's one of their primary things they do. So help with safety and scams and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there are other practical kinds of help you can give to your seniors just in some of those meetings, having some speakers in. You know, so there's always two elements to church ministry, right? There's that programmatic and the personal.
Yeah.
And so there are some programmatic kinds of things you can do, but then, you know, like some we talked about, it's also just that that personal attention and making sure our body's cared for.
Yeah, I remember getting to go to the Golden Agers, one of those gatherings. I think it was in 2012 that they selected me for the Golden Agers Scholarship. Oh, so sure. I got to go down, and it was probably just a couple months ago that I was here walking in the halls, and one of the Golden Agers came up to me, and they're like, "Hey, I remember you being there." I'm like, "That was like 11, 12 years ago." Yeah, they remembered being there, and I had to jog in my mind, like, was I? Yeah, that's right. I was there, and that was a neat for me. It was neat seeing the faces in there, and then even some of the connections that God would have. So that was something I even appreciated here about the ministry of Golden Agers, getting to be there.
And that's a great point. And I think this is another great way to think about senior ministry, right? With your senior group, then also helping them orient towards ministering to other people.
Sure.
Right. You know, in that case, they had gathered some money together for a seminary student scholarship. You know, we do also try to have some service opportunities with our senior group. And being in the cities, there's some of those that are easy, you know, going to Feed My Starving Children and packing meals or that kind of thing. But, you know, also, you know, and I think this is something that seniors need to be challenged in too, is, you know, how are you serving? That group, you know, also as a catalyst, maybe for some service opportunities, either within the church or in the community, you know, as an outreach. So, you know, providing some of those connection points programmatically, but then trying to redeem them, you know, for some good things as well.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. What, and even just to use that word, thinking through some of the difficulties of ministry, stepping into it, but what have been some of your most memorable times of ministry with those seniors? You mentioned how they can be a specific encouragement at times. What does that look like for them to encourage you as a pastor?
Sure. Well, you know, I think sometimes probably people think of seniors ministry and they're kind of like, oh, I'm going to get a lot of complaining, you know, that kind of negative reputation or idea. And I'm not saying that's never there, but I have found our senior groups, and even going back to other ministries I've been at, to be so helpful, so encouraging. You know, I can think of with our group particularly, we have our meetings on Wednesday. There's hardly a meeting that goes by where one of them doesn't pull me aside and just say, "Hey, thank you for what you're doing," you know, and I'm not doing anything particularly great. It's just they're really grateful for the opportunity to connect and have the relationships that, you know, that are being built through the ministry. So I have found that to be very rewarding, you know, working with this group of, you know, maybe that's not always how people assume senior ministry is going to be. Yeah. And maybe it's not always, but, you know, often I found it to be really full of gratitude. I think our seniors are often greatly blessed by and encouraging to our young people as well. Yeah. One of the things we try and do sometimes is bring some kids from the church in, you know, or the school, like if they're doing science fair projects or whatever, have them come in and present their science fair project in a Golden Agers meeting.
Yeah.
And I always tell the kids, I said, "You got to understand, this group is so excited to see you."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the worries that our seniors have is what's going to happen to our church in the future. Are the generations behind us going to follow Christ, you know, in the way that we did? And so, you know, they're just going to be so encouraged just by your presence coming and speaking to them. And they'll communicate that, right? They'll communicate that encouragement to them of, you know, we're so glad to see you're in the Christian school or you're in the church, you know, and serving the Lord. So I have found the group to be, you know, seniors in general, and even going back to when I was very young in ministry, our church, you know, I was the youth pastor, but it was pretty heavily senior oriented, our church in Florida. And, you know, so many of those people really, you know, kind of adopted us and took us in. And so there's a lot of blessing in it, you know, a lot of blessing for all the challenges, right? And we've talked about some of them, that walking through the time of death of a spouse, you know, even some of our seniors, you know, I think in the few years I've been doing the senior ministry here, I think three of our seniors have buried a child and one a grandchild. And so, you know, through all of the hard stuff, you know, that can happen at this time of life, there's also been a lot of blessing in it.
Yeah. Thinking through the encouragement that seniors are in Bible study, what's a Bible study that seniors have particularly been drawn to, or that you have found helpful for seniors? Maybe a series or a book. What's something that you found helpful?
The thing I did most recently, in our Golden Agers group, was a series on heaven, actually.
Yeah.
It sort of was born out of, we were on a trip or an outing or something, and we started just having sort of an organic conversation about heaven, and some questions started coming out about what's this scenario and whatever. And so I took the opportunity to do a little series on the topic of heaven, and just kind of walk through, some of those future ideas about, what's happening now, what's God going to do in the future, and those kind of things. And so, a number of them, you know, of our folks mentioned that was particularly helpful, and, you know, that makes sense, I guess, and I think this does meet, you know, certainly some of our seniors are going to struggle with discouragement, you know, they're going to struggle with, you know, just maybe not seeing a lot of future for themselves. And even, you know, the kind of existential dread that can come. And so, I think it was helpful just for them to have that sort of renewed view of heaven and the hope that comes with that.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much for these practical ideas and encouragements for the body. I want to ask you personally in your life, as we close our time here together, just for a work of God that you have seen in your life or your ministry, what's something that you want to praise God for today?
Yeah. I can think of a number of things, and, I guess generally and I don't know if it's so much a specific thing, but in all the, and maybe I've been thinking about this because just one of our pastors here just transitioned to a senior pastorate elsewhere. And so, you know, we've gone through that loss in a sense, a friend, a colleague going and moving elsewhere in a good parting, you know, he's going to take another good ministry. Just thinking through some of the transitions that have happened in my own life. You know, what I've always tried to tell my kids and communicate to anybody who asked was, what was always amazing was that God was always steps ahead of me in ways that I never understood, you know? And so even where those, you know, changes or whatever might've been hard, that I've always been able to see that God was working something out ahead of me. I couldn't always see it in real time. I could try to trust that in real time, you know, but in retrospect, you know, at times being able to look back and just see God was always working in ways that I didn't even know were happening ahead of me to prepare something that I didn't probably see coming. Yeah. Right. And I've always sort of had plans. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do this. And often God took them a different direction in ways that I didn't anticipate, but it was because he was working on something that I didn't anticipate. So I've had cause recently to think through that just with, you know, a friend, you know, moving to a different ministry, and watching some of that happen and trusting that God's doing that for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, also cause to remember that in my own life, how he's always been good and faithful to do that.
God has always been good and faithful. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jared, for being on the podcast with us today.
Micah, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Next time on the Central Seminary Podcast. Really, we're asking the question about the timing of the rapture. We're going to talk about date setting, that the essence, the theology of imminency. What should we do about the news headlines?
There are misunderstandings of what dispensationalists believe on this. Maybe misunderstanding is the wrong word. There are versions of dispensationalism that do set dates, right? And that's not what we stand for at Central.
So what do we do with a world that looks so bad? There's no denying that looking at any of the headlines, what's going on.
Sin, destruction, and despair are normal because I think the Bible teaches us that the creation is groaning, awaiting redemption. But yet, Lewis is saying that does not mean God is not providentially in control.
Look for our next episode on the Central Seminary Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Central Seminary Podcast. Our mission at Central Seminary is to assist New Testament churches in equipping spiritual leaders for Christ-exalting biblical ministry. Since its founding in 1956, Central Seminary has sought to provide serious students of God's Word with robust theological education as they prepare for ministry. We have graduates around the world who are serving in countless ways to spread the gospel and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Find out more at our website, centralseminary.edu.